What are you like?
5'5" on a good day, 5'6" on Bumble. What's good, everybody? Welcome to 808s and Ankle Breaks, episode 45. It's a hip-hop and basketball-based podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Kerma, also known as co-editor-in-chief of the Amherst Wire. With me is my other co-host,
Trevor Wilson, entertainment editor for the Amherst Wire. And we're back, baby!
That was way too loud, but we're back. You know, I know over the summer, me and Trev, we talked about doing some, like, occasional episodes. Look, and occasional turned to, like, maybe one or two, and that turned to zero. But we're back like we never left.
Back like, couldn't have said it any better myself. You know, we're glowing up this summer.
It was bag season. It was bag season. I was with the Valley Advocate interviewing some rappers, doing some news stories as well. Trevor was on that communications grind.
Oh, yeah. You know, marketing out in Boston. Getting that money, getting that experience, but
back. That's not what we're here for. We're not here to flex. We're here to talk hip hop and basketball. So for the episode today, you know, we'll be talking, our favorite albums of the summer, least favorite albums, as well as kind of a quick recap of free agency. We know you guys are hoopers. You know, you guys are hoop fans, so you guys already, you know, the gist of it. We're gonna give a couple opinions real quick, but before we do that, you know, we got to hit you with the slap or skip. And if you're new here, I forgive you, but
it's season three. Come on.
We're only doing this once.
Come on.
I'm only telling you what Slap or Skip is once. Slap or Skip is our weekly segment where we go over the hottest singles of the week. And, you know, if we like it, it's a slap. If we don't like it, it's a skip. Meh, if it's in between. And, you know, we got the supers if it's going crazy. So first on our list.
In the worst way.
Yeah. First on our list, we got Moonwalk by Rex Life Raj. What'd you think of this one, Trev?
First, back in the season, you know, Kenny Beats on the track, fire beat. That's all I gotta say. He's got that really nice bounce to it, that really cool guitar melody to drive the whole thing. I'm gonna give it a meh, though. I really love the hook on this. I think Rex Life Raj sounds so smooth on the hook. But when he's singing on some of those verses, it just sounds a little bit too scattered for me. Sounds like a little bit too all over the place. I wasn't really loving his flow on it that much. But man, when that hook comes back in, it's really infectious. So
okay,
it's a meh from me.
I'm going to give it a slap, but I guess I'll preface it by saying I'm a huge Rex Life Raj fan. But, you know, I think the strength here is, like, he's got the melodic flows, and he's going so fast with it that I was just kind of impressed by the mechanics, and I kind of got lost in that. But I could definitely see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm still going to keep my slap, especially, you know, the beat by Kenny Beats. He definitely did his thing on this with the acoustic guitar sample mixed with the, you know, the snappy hi-hat. So I can't complain on this, so it's a slap. Next, we got Dirty Laundry, Danny Brown. What'd you think of this one?
This track was crazy. This track was nuts.
Very.
I was stuck in between meh and slap all day, but I think I'm going to give it a slap.
Okay.
Just based on purely how crazy this song is. Like, this is just the zaniest and wackiest you're ever going to hear Danny Brown sound. I mean, he sounds like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like when I tell you, I have no idea what's going on in this beat. Like, I don't know what these instruments are, but it's just pure madness.
I, like, in my notes here, I wrote it's like techno meets polka. like, that's like, it's got like this like weird like beat going assumption. Like techno,
yeah.
But then it's got something that sounds like an accordion. I don't know if it is, but it sounds like it.
Right.
We should also mention that it's produced by Q-Tip, who's supposed to
Ooh.
Be, I think he's supposed to be producing Danny Brown's whole upcoming album.
Very
so
that
should be very interesting.
For sure.
But for me, this, I gave it a super slap. I think Danny Brown, and I mean this in the nicest way possible. He's one of like the weirdest people in hip hop. Like,
yeah.
He's just super strange. As you said, super zany. And like, this reflects that to perfection.
Yeah,
we already talked about the beat, and then the verses in terms of like the imagery and like the descriptions, very impressive. It seems like he's just talking about like his come up after his first, I guess, first time in jail, coming back and trying to, you know, get back on his feet. He kind of opens up the track where he kind of brings you into his bedroom, and there's this awesome line, "Ever seen a roach with babies having babies?" Like, that's like the epitome of like describing poverty right there.
Yeah.
So like, I gotta respect it. And then there's a part where he's talking about like, I can't tell if he's having sex with a fat woman or if he's buying cocaine off of her or both, but, like, it's fire. It's fire.
Yeah.
And it's just super weird track. Next we got B.O.B. Row It. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
I'm going to give this one a slap. This is, like, I just love the bounce on this one. B.O.B., it's not really anything, like, new or groundbreaking. It's something you've heard all the time. Like, the same like, just hi-hat pattern, like, throughout the whole song. But the 808s are super bouncy. He floats really nice on it. The hook is super simple, but it's really catchy. And, you know, I'd drop it in the club to Row It. I would.
You drop it in the club?
I'd drop it in the club.
Okay.
Full disclosure. But, yeah, it's a slap for me.
I would go, so I'm giving this a meh. I think there's a lot of things to like about the song. It's very catchy. But my biggest concern is, I don't want to call it generic, but it just doesn't stray too far from, like, what I can hear from any other artist on a trap beat right now. I think BLB's flows, it's impeccable, but it's not anything new. The 808 patterns are very similar to a lot of songs right now. And for that reason, I give it a meh, but I'll also admit that it's catchy, though. And if I heard it at a party, I wouldn't complain and I would dance, but this is 808s and ankle breaks. We got to analyze it. So for me, it's a meh. Next, we got FKA Twigs featuring Future, Holy Terrain. What'd you think of this one, Trevor?
This was a great track. I'm giving this one a slap. The instrumental on this is just, it's really cool. Like, she's got these really nice, eerie pads in the background. And her voice is a little bit haunting, but it's soothing at the same time.
This is how you explain it. I would say, like, you know, like, Greek mythology, like the sirens?
Yeah, that's what,
like,
it
she's got
like
the voice
yeah.
of a siren,
it's,
for real.
That's so true. That's so true. And, you know, the Future feature, or I should say the Hendrix feature, really. Like, we're getting Hendrix on
very Hendrix.
But it was really good. He added a whole other dimension to it. Not that I expected it to be, like, bad or anything, but I wasn't expecting it to be as good as it was. But, yeah, like, front to back, this track is just super interesting, so I'm going to give it a slap.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a slap as well. And for the most part, as I said with the metaphor before with the Greek mythology, like, it just reminds me of, like, the sirens. And in terms of even, like, the messaging behind it, Twig seems to be, like, rapping about, like, trying to find, like, the perfect man that's, like, worthy of her. And that just reminds me of, like, the sirens, where it's, like, she's probably just going through different men where it's, like, none of them are actually worthy. So that's why I got to give it a slap. Next, we got Pusha T featuring Miss Lauryn Hill, Coming Home. What'd you think of this one, Trev?
I'm a little biased, but this is a slap for me. Always I got to get pushed. Not always, because the single before this one was okay. But, like, the best way I can put this song is, like, it sounds like the end of a Pusha T documentary. Like, that's exactly what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's in like some Cadillac, like he's taking the bricks out the back, and he's just looking solemnly out into the sunset, you know?
Yeah.
But seriously though, the production on this is insane. Pusha T snaps, and I love Miss Lauryn Hill on the hook as well.
Yeah,
it's just a really great song.
This track, I would definitely say it's very motivational, very triumphant, something that I wish would have been on Daytona. You know, at the end of the year last year, me and Trevor, we did our top 10 albums of the year, and I had Daytona as number 3 because it lacked, like, another element beyond just coke raps. And, like, this is something that would have been great on Daytona. And I'm also going to give it a slap just because it seems like a different Pusha T from what I'm used to.
Yeah,
like, not even
absolutely.
I don't think I've heard anything like this on Clips's projects either. So it's like, this is just a different element. You got
totally
Pusha
different from Daytona.
Yeah,
like, way different.
He references mass incarceration as well as mass incarceration activist Tony Lewis. So overall, you can tell he's kind of like, it seems like he's moving into a different phase of his career as an artist. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is the only triumphant track that's going to be in the next project, but still a great track overall.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, on our slapper skip list, we got ASAP Rocky, Babushka Boy, Straight Out of Prison. What'd you think of this with Trev?
I feel like I'm just handing out slaps here, but I'm going to give this track another slap as well. It's just crazy bouncy. I love the instrumental on it. That vocal sample he has going on in the background, is just, it's really subtle, but it adds, like, something to the melody that was missing. And there's this really nice, like, digital cowbell throughout the entire song, and then he starts, like, rolling it a little bit. But yeah, I love ASAP's delivery on this thing. The hook is really catchy, too. So it's another slap from me.
I'm going to go meh on this one. I agree on the beat. Like, I don't know if it was a cowbell. I thought it was, like, it sounded like a ping pong. Or not, pinball. It sounded like a pinball machine, like, type of bounce. And I love the beat, for sure. I just think it's about time. Maybe it's maybe it's the fact that he just got out of prison, but I just feel like we need to start holding ASAP Rocky accountable as a lyricist. Because I think low-key, he's like one, he could easily, if he wanted to be, I think he could be one of the best rappers alive. Like, his flow is crazy, his voice is crazy. Of course he's Jiggy and he wants to party, I get that. But like, I feel like right now is like your moment where you could talk about some real shit. And like his music video for this song, it's got like, you know, cops as pigs and he's like dressed like a gangster and all that. And like, that's cool. But I feel like if he really took the time to just like write some real lyrics now, ASAP Rocky could take over hip hop and be the best rapper alive.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like, that's kind of like the experience he needed to like do that.
Yeah.
So I absolutely agree. We need a little bit more from him.
So like, when you have lyrics like, I ain't duck sauce, I ain't duck sauce since I've been vegan, like, I'm sorry, I'm good.
That's a very big Sean bar.
So like, I'm good on that. So like, this song, once again, it's some party music for sure, but I want to see something more from ASAP Rocky, so that's why I'm going to give it a meh. But that concludes our slapper skip. It's all about that album talk now. We're going to do a quick little summer recap, talk about some of our favorite albums of the summer, some of our least favorite albums. So let's do it, Trevor.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get it started first. I guess we'll start off with the favorite albums. We'll start positive, then go negative. So what were some of your favorite albums of the summer?
Man, like, it was so weird hearing people talk about how, like, nothing good came out this summer, because I felt like there was still, like, a really good volume of quality albums. One of those, like, right off the bat, what I think about, we didn't talk about it ever on the pod, I wish we got to, but Igor for me was like that first like blockbuster album of the summer. It's just like beautiful front to back. Like, he just utilizes so many different elements of like pop
soul
the way he uses his voice and adjusts his voice like throughout the whole album is something he hasn't done before, and it's super impressive.
I would say, I think he's adjusted his voice before, but like, that was like back on Goblin, where he would do like the deep voice stuff a lot with, you know, Wolf Haley as his alternate persona. But now it's like he'll use the high pitched voices while singing, and it's like, Tyler is clearly not a good singer, and he knows that. He said that in interviews. He's embracing it and is using, you know, his vocals in the right way to still tell a story. The entire album seems to be about, you know, falling in love with a friend and just like
having your heart broken. It's a heartbreak album.
So that was, honestly, that's probably my favorite album of the year so far.
Wow.
My best way to describe it is almost like it's a hip hop album wrapped in like flowers and R&B and soul. Like, that's my best way to say it. It's a beautiful hip hop album for sure. Another album that you like, Trevor?
I think second one that immediately comes to mind is Bandana, the Freddie Gibbs and Madlib record. And you know, Freddie Gibbs, for me, like, I've always thought Freddie Gibbs was, like, a great gangster rapper. But for me, like, Madlib, the way he is just able to produce is just mind-blowing to me. And it's, like, honestly inspirational as somebody who, like, makes beats, like, as a hobby. You know, it's just, like, crazy. It's a little bit discouraging, though, because he made the whole album on an iPad.
Absolutely wild.
And I don't know if you know this, but on Crime Pays, at the very end, there's like a little beat switch towards the end and it fades out. That is a GarageBand loop. So put that in solely just to flex on everybody. But for me, like, Bandana is just sonically so impressive. And like, Freddie Gibbs is great on it, obviously. Sometimes I think Madlib's beats can overpower Freddie Gibbs' voice a little bit. And they really shouldn't be a duo that works. But on Bandana, it absolutely works. And they showed that on Pinata, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just a great album, front to back. Like, I think it's like 35 minutes, so it's just a really tight listen.
That was another one on my list. You said pretty much everything. I'll just say a couple tracks I really liked. I'd probably say Fake Names.
Fake Names is so good.
Such a good song. You know,
Situations I love too.
Yeah, that one's also a really good one. Overall, just a very strong album. Mm-hmm. I think, if you had to put a negative, I think, you know, there are times where I think Freddie Gibbs, where like, in terms of his lyrics, they almost like they glide right past you because how good the instrumentals are and how good his flow is. Like, it's almost a point where you can kind of just get lost in it and not catch some of the double entendres and references to like Donald Trump's Twitter on one song. Like, he's got a lot in there. So overall, probably one of the best albums of the year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Next, I got this. Is probably my oh no, I got two more albums I could talk about. Maxo Cream, Brandon Banks. That was phenomenal album. Phenomenal. In terms of It really, it snuck up on me because I've known of Maxo Cream, but I always just thought of him as like just another one of the guys that just hops on trap beats. Not in a negative way, but that's just how I associated him. But like that intro track, Meet Again is one of my, I'd say 10 to 15 favorite songs this year.
It's got I'd say it's in my top 10.
Yeah, easily, it's got this like soulful, you know, sample, and then it's, you know, Maxo kind of rapping to one of his friends or family that's, you know, stuck in a cell, and, you know, in mass incarceration, dealing with that, and just kind of telling how everything's going, you know, referencing the person's baby mama, their ops, all that stuff, and just right. kind of just like it's a open letter to them that we get to kind of just listen in on, and I just think that's a beautiful song, absolutely yeah. beautiful. But he's still got the hype music too. You know, he's got Relay with Travis Scott, just goes crazy. Megan Thee Stallion mm-hmm. hops on the track too. They have great chemistry on that track.
Yes, great chemistry, absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that?
I was gonna say you hit pretty much everything right on the nose. Like, and this is the next, I think one of the next questions on here too. But this album was just so surprisingly good. Like, I was not anticipating it being this good. But I think also that's part of my miseducation on Maxo Cream. Like, I don't know much about him, mm-hmm. like, as much apart from the song Mars with Lil Uzi Vert. But, man, this album was just so good. Like, he's just such a great storyteller, and he just sets the tone right off the bat with Meet Again. Like, you said pretty much everything about it that needs to be said, but, man, I love that hook. Like, and I love those, the ad-lib, I guess you can call them ad-libs, but the background vocals where he's like, I'd rather be carried by six before I'm judged by 12. Yeah. 12. Yeah, that
phenomenal.
That just attention to detail is so impressive. So
for sure.
Yeah, that is absolutely for one of sure. my favorites of the year.
You so got far. Any other positive albums before we go negative? I might have one more album.
Yeah, too, say for positive. I've said my two, so you can say
okay.
your two. Yeah.
I would say Big Crit. Crit is here. In terms of like albums this year, it's probably one of the most well-rounded albums. Mm-hmm. Like it's got a little bit of everything for everybody. It's got the hype songs with, you know, those southern bouncy 808 patterns that Crit is known for, with songs like Energy, as well as Addiction is one of my favorite songs this year. Saweetie on the hook is like, just all she says is dive in, this shit feel like water, but it's like there's some kind of like sexiness to the delivery that's just like untouchable. Untouchable. Then you got Lil Wayne, he goes and snaps on that, but you know, he has those hype songs, but he also has songs for, you know, romance, like Obvious with Rico Love, that's a great one, as well as like some songs where it's got these like nice little, I'm assuming it's classical samples. I didn't do the research on this one, my apologies, but on the song Make It Easy, another one of my favorite songs mm-hmm. from that album. Just overall a well-rounded project that deserves to be recognized as one of the top albums of the summer, at least.
Yeah, so that's why I gotta revisit, because I listened to it once or twice and I really liked it. Mm-hmm. So I definitely gotta look back at that one.
Okay, and now we gotta go negative. Yeah. So what are some of your most disappointing albums this year, Trevor?
Well, there's the obvious answer here, and that is the Chance the Rapper record. We cannot let Chance the Rapper get away with this.
What do you mean? It's the Big Day, though.
Dude, bro, I don't care if it's the Big Day. The Big Day laid a huge fart.
He got married.
I don't care, bro. You don't need to tell me you got married.
It's an album for Trevor. Are you really going to say that, man?
I am.
He made an album about getting married, and you're gonna hate on it?
I am going to hate on it. Because,
are you serious?
You know what, Chance?
20 songs dedicated to his wife. And you're going to hate
it.
See,
I know what Kerm's trying to do right now. I know what you're trying to do right now. I'm not going to let it happen, because I know you also don't like this Chance the Rapper, the Chance the Rapper album.
If I'm keeping it a buck, I still have not finished that album. Like, I consider myself a Chance the Rapper fan. Like, actually, let me not even say that. I enjoy Chance the Rapper's music.
Yeah.
But not to the point where I'm going to ride him and just, like, listen to everything he plays as God's word, even if he says it's God's word. So I was, like, 8 songs in, and I just decided, like, nah, this one's not for me, and I don't want to do any hating, so I was just like, I'm just going to turn it off.
I'm not going to hate. It's just not good.
Yeah.
It's just, like, blatantly not good, and I felt kind of weird going into it, like, the lead-up to the album. Like,
there album wasn't cover any, didn't help.
Yeah, there wasn't any hype. What did you say? You said, like, this is going to be, like, some, like, nursery rhyme.
Oh, it was definitely on some kids' bop. Yeah. Based on the, if you look at that album
that's
cover,
what I call music.
Yeah, if you look at the album cover, it definitely like gives some kids' bop vibes. Like, I think just the colors on it or whatever, like just him holding this like blank album and it's like super bright, super happy, and I get it, Chance. Like, Chance is in a good place. I think really we need to reflect on ourselves. That's what it is. Chance has so much positivity in his life right now that we can't stand it.
No.
That's what it is. We gotta look inside ourselves, maybe go to the church, maybe look for the right woman to settle
maybe
down
get
with
married,
and
yeah.
then we'll actually appreciate that album for what it is. Any other albums? Because like we all knew that's where we were gonna go with it. But
that,
any
that
other
was
albums
the obvious
for you?
One. I think like I listened to the YG album once, and like man, YG is just like totally losing it for me. He hasn't been interesting since
that
Still
song.
Breezy.
That song in the dark though.
Yeah,
my friend Casey put me onto that. Like, I will admit, like, he's definitely ripped off Blueface, but like that song is tough.
Yeah.
I'm in the dark going crazy. That's tough. But yeah, no, I actually didn't even listen to that album, so I'm not even gonna cap.
Honestly, don't. Like, I listened to it one time and that's all it took for me.
Fair enough. That's all it's ever been taking me with YG lately.
For
me, this is not a bad album per se, but it made me start to think, like, is this where we start to see the plateau? Young Thug, So Much Fun. It has a lot of really good songs on it. But maybe because I'm just sick of 20 song albums, maybe that's what it is. But
right.
I just feel like Thug didn't present us with enough like, you know, new stuff for me to like feel like he's still progressing. So it's like it's not a bad album, but in terms of the standards I hold Young Thug to, I thought it was like it was passable. Like I don't think it really reaches expectations, but it gets close enough and you have enough good songs that it could go number one like it did.
Yeah.
And it's passable. But I'm worried that in terms of him being creative as an artist, this might be where we see the plateau. Because it's like, you know, Beautiful Thugger Girls, there was so much creativity.
Same with Jeffrey.
And
every
project, it felt like there was at least something different, something
even
new.
Even on the run.
Like the, you know, with the samples what's it called?
Elton John.
Yeah, Elton John. Thank you. It's not that it's a bad album. There are great songs like Surf. I love that song. Hot with Gunna. I love that song. P***y's also a great song.
Let it be known.
I don't know. Do we have to bleep that? Because like that's the name of the song. Like, but overall, it's like it's not a bad album. But it just like I think it could be a sign of like the plateau for Young Thug. That's my best way to explain it.
And that's a good point because I remember going in. First time I listened to the album, I hated it. I didn't like it. Like, it just felt, like, super bland and just super, like, formulaic from him. So I think you were absolutely right in everything you're saying. Like, this could be, like, the end of the run Young Thug has been on for, like, the past, like, 8 years.
And what's tough is, and I think we're going to probably do this when we have more episodes with discussions and stuff. What's tough is, like, I think the number ones are going to continue. Similar in a way that, like, with Drake, where, like, if Drake puts something out, it's a guaranteed number one. And I think Thug is getting to, like, that level of popularity where, like, he's gonna be listened to no matter what. And he can probably keep going number one. This was his first one, and I hope that he keeps going number one. But I also want the quality of the music to continue to progress. And I don't know where else he can go. So we'll have to see.
That's a really good
point. I think the next level would be just getting more lyrical, which I think in the intro track of So Much Fun, it was a little more lyrical, you know, a little more understated in terms of, like, the ad-libs and all that. So I would be interested to see him do that, but I'm also interested in seeing any artist become more lyrical, so maybe I should just shut up.
At the end of the day, So Much Fun. It's a lot of fun.
It is fun. That's the thing. It's still fun.
You're absolutely right in everything you said.
So who do we wish released an album this summer that didn't?
Man, like, it's easy for me to say Kendrick, because I just am a huge Kendrick stan, but, man, this summer could have used some Kendrick Lamar. I mean, we got that verse on
Sir. He featured
on that Sir song, Hair Down, which is great song.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting feature from him, but I still really liked it. So he's, like, the obvious, like, go-to.
Yeah, for me, like, a summer without Uzi and Cardi
is
a little
tough.
Gonna
be my next
like
one.
Playboi Carti, you know, he dropped an album last year, so you know he's got at least like a year waiting period where it's like it's okay that he didn't drop this summer. But Lil Uzi, I don't know what's going on with Eternal Take. I still am confused, like, why the label won't just let him drop it and let him leave the label. But that would have been great to have this summer.
Seriously,
like
if Uzi
and Cardi could just alternate every year dropping albums, I'd be good. But
I think humanity would be good.
Yeah.
Like, until the end of time, but in like 20 years.
But it is what it is. Even, I guess we didn't talk about Revenge of the Dreamers. That was one thing we could have mentioned earlier.
Yeah. You know what? I would have put that in like a the disappointing category.
You think?
Yeah, because like it was really good. There were some great moments on Revenge of the Dreamers, but I still find myself only coming back to like a couple songs.
Yeah, you know? I think with a compilation album, that's how it's gonna be a lot of the times. Like even with the Black Panther soundtrack, similar thing where it's that's like true. You kind of pick what songs you like and you put them on a playlist. Yeah. When you have that many artists on one album, it's not gonna be cohesive. So like I took it for what it was worth, and I enjoyed like there's probably like 8 songs that I have in mixed in different playlists, and I was okay with that. I think it was a solid body of work, but we can't grade it on the same scale.
That's true. Of like a other solo albums. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So.
And so I guess we got 2 more questions on here. So who are you listening to now, Trevor?
Right now, kind of have so much fun on, but like more just like picking songs out for playlists. But what I've really been bumping lately is the new Brockhampton album I love. Ginger is really good. It's a little bit more mainstream because they're pretty out of left field sometimes when it comes to their instrumentals and whatnot. But another album I've been listening to a lot is that Rhapsody record, Eve. It's just, man, that album is just incredible. Like everything from like the production, but like her lyricism is just in full force on Eve. And I really like the themes behind it too. The driving one being that like a lot of the song titles, I think all the song every song title is the name of a powerful black woman. And it's just, she just goes on like this almost like home run trot, it seems like. She's just boastful, she's proud, she's liberated, and she's just, it's a really fun listen, and it's a really like inspirational listen too.
Yeah, that was a great album. Who am I listening to right now? I've been listening to Earth Gang Mirrorland, obviously.
Oh, yeah, that new Earth Gang record.
I've been listening to that a decent amount. We should have a writer writing a review on that, so we're not going to touch that. Maybe we'll touch that in the next week of the next episode of 808s, but who knows? We'll see. But I've been listening to that. I mean, the past month, I've been putting on throwbacks heavy, so I've been listening to some Mobb Deep. I've been listening to, Daniel Caesar's album. We didn't even mention that.
Yeah.
Case Study 01, which, I mean, this is a hip-hop podcast, but that's one of the best R&B albums of the year. I've been listening to that a decent amount. That's really about it for me recently. I also, you know, have been trying to dip my toes into rock music. One of my friends has kind of put me onto that. So I've been, you know, trying. Yeah. I've been trying. Like,
you got to find the right kind.
I've been listening to a little bit of Led Zeppelin, not going to lie. JPEG Mafia, he dropped this song, Jesus Forgive Me, I'm a Thought. Fire song. but I think that's all I'll list for, you know, songs I've been listening to recently. How about, I guess we can do our album of the year picks. It's a little early.
Yeah.
A little early,
so
but.
So far.
Yeah, album of the year so far.
9 months, almost 9 months through. I'm going to stick with Bandana. I'm going to stick with Bandana as my album of the year, but I think Igor is a very close runner up for me.
Yep, Igor for me. All right. You know, it's been a long off season.
And crazy off season.
Wild off season.
Insane off season.
You know, we can kind of get it. We're not going to go over everything because that's a waste of your time. It's a waste of our time. But what we are going to do is we're going to talk about, you know, some of the highlights, you know, the biggest things that we didn't expect to happen and things that we did expect to happen but didn't. So let's do that first. What is like one of your top things that you didn't expect to happen, Trevor?
I think the breakdown of the Knicks free agency has just been the best thing to watch. The most pleasant and just enriching thing to watch.
Classic, I mean, Knicks.
Hey, but they got real good at Photoshop in the offseason. I can say that much. They got really good at Photoshop. Man, some of those lineups were crazy. Zion.
KD,
Kyrie.
It's crazy. Now they got like 8 power forwards on their team.
RJ Barrett, who like could be a huge flop. Like, I'm really worried that he could be a huge flop.
We'll see. He's going to get them shots up though.
Yeah.
Him and Julius Randle are about to, they're going to fight for the basketball. That's the only thing you can really watch about the Knicks. But let's not shit too much on the Knicks.
No, we're not going to do that.
I would say, you know, the biggest thing that I expected that didn't happen was
Oh, man, I already know.
I thought, you know, the silent killer, the Warriors killer, Kawhi Leonard. I thought it was gonna happen. I thought it was Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. And I was set. I went to bed at 1 a.m.
Yeah,
the notification came through at 2 a.m. Then I woke up and I saw that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are gonna play in the Staples Center, but not in purple and gold. Which it's tough. It's tough. It happens. So that was one of the biggest, you know. I didn't expect that at all.
The biggest surprise.
Didn't expect that at all. Surprise. But it is what it is. I guess one thing I didn't expect that is a step below the big stories, because everyone's talked about those, but Malcolm Brogdon to the Pacers is a phenomenal pickup from the
Pacers.
Phenomenal pickup for the Pacers. Terrible loss for the Bucks. And, like, the Bucks, they had to lose somebody, but, like...
Malcolm Brogdon's that's probably the toughest loss. Would you say tougher than Middleton?
No, not necessarily, but it's like he's younger. Yeah, that's the way I look at it. Yeah, he's younger. Yeah. If you let Middleton walk, just for the amount of money you have to pay Middleton, like, you could probably try and find another floor spacer and then have Brogdon and hope that Brogdon gets better. But they went a different route, and I think it's seriously going to affect them against probably Philly as, like, their number one contender.
Yeah, for sure.
So, like... I don't know, man. That's a crazy one. I think the Pacers have the potential to be a 3 seed. With Oladipo's health, I think that's kind of the biggest factor. But they could be something scary, for sure.
Yeah, they really could. Absolutely.
Anything else that we need to address there? I guess Dwight Howard's on the Lakers, but...
Is that big? Nah. Was the KD to Brooklyn thing, was that a surprise to you? Like a
honestly,
little bit?
Like, it wasn't as surprising as it should have been.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I mean, if he wanted to play in New York, Brooklyn clearly had the better roster.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I'd heard rumors about, rumors that Kyrie wanted to go to the Nets. So, right. Like, if you add it together, the fact that Kyrie and KD are supposed to play together and Kyrie wanted to go to the Nets and they have a better team, it's not that shocking. In the moment when I saw that, I was shocked at how early it happened and the fact that DeAndre Jordan went with them. But, like, that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Let's kind of just move on to...
I just want to say one more thing before we move on. I think we all got to pour one up for Chris Paul, man.
Yeah,
Chris Paul, like...
He's locked up
He's
for
going
life.
Down, like, the worst way. The worst way. Yeah. I didn't think he would stay on the Thunder, but I was thinking, I was like, man, this is probably the worst way his career could have ended.
He's about to go out sad unless he just, like, if I was him, I would just not show up to work until they fired me. And then I would be like, you really want me to play, so it's me and Steven Adams. And we got Shai. Yeah, we got Gallinari.
22 picks.
Yeah, we got Gallinari, but we're about to be an 11 seed. Or maybe, who knows, maybe they'll get crazy and be a 9 seed.
No way.
But they're not making the playoffs.
They're not making the playoffs. So they're, I think they might be like the second to worst team in the Western Conference.
They need to just let that man go.
Yeah.
Free Chris Paul. Free Chris Paul.
Man, that was so sad.
Tough way to go out. Is there anything else that we need to address here for basketball?
I mean, I guess, like, that leading into that, like, one of the biggest dynamic changes is Westbrook on the Rockets. Like,
yeah, we didn't mention
that. I feel like that's going to be a huge change going into next season with him and Harden.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say, because I think they could
be interesting to watch.
They could be a 2 seed, but I don't know if they're going to actually, like, be good in the playoffs together. Like, you have two guys that both hate playing off ball. How's that gonna work?
Do you see that video on Twitter? It was like the 2K thing.
Yeah, had him like fighting for wrestling for the ball.
Westbrook blocked him at the rim and hit the buzzer beater, and Harden walks back into the locker room.
Like, obviously that's like exaggerated, and they played together before. I get that, but it's still like when you have two of the highest usage rate players of all time on this, like literally of all time, like they have the single season usage rate records.
Yeah,
1 and 2. I think Westbrook's 1, Harden's 2.
Yeah,
on Westbrook's the same roster. It's going to be real tough, so we'll see. But I don't think we really need to talk Celtics, Lakers. Like, we could do that, but, like, we already did a little bit of Homer talk. I think we're going to wrap it up for now. I guess we should end this by announcing that 808s and ankle breaks for this semester, at least, will be going bi-weekly. So you guys will hear us in 2 weeks. For those worried about, like, oh, is there going to be other podcasts? We got other podcasts cooking right now. So we're trying to, you know, space it out. We have a lot of new, ambitious podcasters at Amherst Wire. And we're hoping to, you know, give them the opportunity to shine and plug them in where they fit. So for that reason, we're kind of dialing it back a little bit. But you'll hear us in 2 weeks. We'll be fresher, too. So, you know, there won't be, like, these lull episodes where it's, you know, pretty mediocre. I think we're going to have high energy whenever we have the episodes. And we want to have plenty of guests. So, we'll see you in 2 weeks, guys. Peace.